Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
I'm Robin Young. It's Here and Now from the beautiful studios of New Hampshire Public Radio here in Concord, with the first in the nation presidential primary well underway here, a mood both celebratory and frankly a little sour in some pockets, some frustration, undecided voters. Now, unlike some of the other states where a candidate has to gather thousands of signatures, in New Hampshire, you submit a declaration of candidacy, a $1,000 filing fee, and you're on the ballot. There are 14 candidates on the Democratic ballot, including, of course, the incumbent, Barack Obama. And in the Republican field, a record 30 names. And that is adding to the indecision this year. We spoke to voters this morning outside the West Street Ward House polling station here in Concord.
When did you decide?
Last night.
Last night.
I want a good, strong conservative in this party. Somebody that can stand up to you-know-who.
I'll tell you, I'm very dubious about the party I voted for, but it was the best choice.
I just hope that things get straightened out in the country. And that's going to be a job, no matter who does it.
Let's bring in Felice Bellman, editor at the Concord Monitor. Felice, what's your sense of what's happening at the polling stations today?
You know, it's interesting. I think you've kind of summed it up. There's not too much enthusiasm for this crowd of candidates. It sure has gotten exciting in the past, 72 hours. The mood isn't inspiring and excited the way it sure felt here 4 years ago when people were excited about the race between Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama, as well as the race that involved John McCain. This feels really different to me.
WMUR political reporter James Pindle told us yesterday that their polling showed 56% of registered voters undecided. Now, we're hearing from people like former Governor John Sununu. That's the way it always is. Is that the way it always is?
I do think people like to play with pollsters. You know, if you live here, you've been getting nothing but robocalls over the past couple of months, and I think people get frustrated by it. I also think, you know, in this race, the differences among the candidates, with a few exceptions, haven't been stark. I mean, you know, the race is supposed to be about the economy, but I wondered if you asked voters, what's the difference between Mitt Romney and Santorum and Perry and Huntsman on economic issues? I think people would be hard-pressed to say, oh, well, that's the guy who believes X. And so given that these differences aren't there, it's very easy to shift your allegiances from one to the other to the other.
Well, and tell us a little bit about that, the issue of the economy. We heard a couple things from voters. One, they're angry at Congress and gridlock. They're angry at everybody. But also, there's a lot of fear about the economy. Now, you've talked to us about this, and actually, there's a recent article in the New York Times about this. The title is New Hampshire, Fiscal Anxiety Despite Relative Economic Health. You've talked about the idea that, you know, people who have jobs are still expressing this fear.
You know, it's funny, the economy here is certainly better than in the rest of the country, but there are nonetheless things that make people uneasy. The real estate market is really slow, and people who get their real estate assessments from town hall once a year have seen the value of their homes drop precipitously. It's expensive to send your kids to college. It's expensive to pay for health care. Even if you have health insurance through your employer, the plan might not be as good as it was a few years ago, and so you're having to pay more out of pocket. I think all of that makes people uneasy, and of course, all you hear about the rest of the country is how terrible the economy is. We've also seen a year of really unusually harsh budget cutting at the state government level and at some of the towns. And so even if you're doing well, your neighbor may have just lost their job, or the program that they work for may have had their funding cut.
Well, and you say about, you know, a little over 5% unemployment rate, much lower than the national number. In fact, you give a fascinating statistic that sort of speaks to the economy here. It has to do with unemployment counselors?
Yeah, there was news right around the holidays of all times that the state was laying off 50 or 75 unemployment counselors, and the reason was they're federally funded positions, and when you don't have enough unemployed people to justify them, they lose their jobs, and so suddenly you're adding 75 people to the roles of the unemployed because the unemployment roles are so small. I mean, it's kind of this funny circle, but yeah, mm-hmm. a lot of those people did just lose their jobs.
And just a quick question for you, Felice Bellman. A lot of this dissatisfaction fueled the Tea Party movement here. Tea Party, you know, swept the elections, but you've said that in some cases they may have overreached. And so what's the Tea Party role in this primary?
I think all of that may become clearer after today, and more important, after the November election. The last election swept in a lot of people sympathetic to the Tea Party, to the state legislature, which is enormous here. And a lot of what they're doing has nothing to do with the economy. There have been a lot of bills about guns and gun rights, for instance. And whether people suddenly have buyer's remorse may be clear in how they vote today, but also how they vote next fall locally.
Yeah. Elise, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Okay, well, we have a postcard from Primary Eve. Let's listen to some of the sounds from across New Hampshire last night. You know, I know when I think Ron Paul, I immediately think Dave Brubeck. Outside the Tilden Diner in Tilden, New Hampshire, just above Concord in the middle of the state, a pickup festooned with Ron Paul signs, Brubeck blaring from speakers. Inside the diner, three young Ron Paul supporters just in from Maine.
What is your hope to do tomorrow?
Well, they have a phone bake at the headquarters that we'll probably help out with.
Just trying to lighten it up and liven it up. We heard it was a little quiet down here, and we want to get down here and liven it up.
Hi there. Do I understand you're coming and applying for a job here at the Tilden Diner?
Yes, I am.
Who are you supporting tomorrow?
Rick Perry. I like what he stands for with jobs and being out of a job right now. I mean, I need somebody who's going to be...
He talks about having added a lot of jobs in Texas.
Yes.
Things were quiet a little bit south at the country store in rural Canterbury.
So here you are, you're the Coca-Cola delivery guy. You got all your crates of sodas here. As you travel the state of New Hampshire, are you finding that people are talking about the primaries?
Not as much. People don't know who to vote for this year. They're not happy with the candidates, really.
As you pay for your gallon milk, can we ask you how you're feeling going into the primary?
Still undecided.
Wow, that's what we're hearing from everybody.
Yeah. Not excited about anybody.
What aren't you hearing? Like, what's the one thing you'd want to hear someone say?
A different candidate.
Next door, at the beautiful white-clavered library, where things are supposed to be quiet, strong opinions. Here's a man backing former Louisiana Governor Buddy Romer.
It's just sort of, Robin, you feel like this guy will listen to me. That's a lot of what it's about, so I really like him. Does he have a chance? Most likely not. Should my vote go for the person that's got... Should I always root for the Yankees? No.
Are you ready for tomorrow's primary? Do
of
you know?
Of course I am.
I'm going for Huntsman because he's worked across party lines, and he's the only Republican that can even talk about it, much less do it.
Well, that's interesting because that's what he got chastised for by Mitt Romney in the debates this weekend.
But you know what his response was the next morning, which was, yeah, he was out putting his country first and party second.
Excuse me.
A construction worker sits at one of the library computers, his child next to him. Unemployment here is low, around 5%. But he wanted us to know there are pockets of pain.
Oh, yeah, most definitely, yeah. And you can see it. It's more prevalent in the North Country and stuff. A lot of it is, most of the companies are outside and stuff, so the money really doesn't stay in the community itself. And it doesn't seem that, like, anything is really staying here.
Yeah, well, I'm wondering, you're working here on a computer at the library. Can I take a stab at, you know, maybe you're one of those people doing research, maybe looking for work?
Yeah, actually I was. I'm on the Concord Monitor looking to find a part-time job and stuff until the spring comes and stuff. Construction companies, a lot of people are out of work because they're not plowing and stuff. And on Concord Monitor, they had an ad for somebody to shovel snow.
There's no snow.
You lose a lot of revenue that way as well for the people up north.
Well, I wish you all the best.
All right, thank you very much.
Okay. Take care.
Also da, wo er da steht, noch und hier, wo die noch so stehen.
Down in Manchester, a scrum of reporters from around the world stands shivering outside Jillian's restaurant. They can't get in because Rick Santorum and his supporters have packed the place, the fire marshal barring any more entry.
The fire marshal is a Democrat.
That's American Spectator reporter Robert Stacey McCain on the campaign trail with these candidates since this summer.
I remember at the Values Voters Summit in October, you know, he was just sitting in the lobby, just talking to whoever would come by and talk to him, you know. And you could come up and sit and shake his hand and talk to him. And you know, to see how this has transformed is pretty amazing. This has been one of the most incredible cycles, I think, in the history of, you know, the Republican Party. And nobody can get in, you know, and so it's... Well, you know, as I was telling someone, I left a perfectly warm bar to come over here, you know.
Hi, this is Lewis. I'm calling from Newt Gingrich's campaign in New Hampshire. Will you be voting in the primary tomorrow? Oh, they hung up. All right, everyone's about ready to go to sleep, maybe. I don't know. Hi, my name is Lewis. I'm calling from Newt Gingrich's campaign in New Hampshire. Is Diane available?
Hi, Joseph. This is Chip calling from Mitt Romney's campaign. As you probably know, the Republican presidential primary is tomorrow, Tuesday, January 10th. Mitt Romney is running for president to get our country back on the right track. He's focused on creating jobs, lowering the tax burden.
At campaign headquarters last night, last-minute phone calls.
Good morning.
Then this morning, finally, the voters' turn.
And the pencils are in the booth. In any booth, either side, doesn't matter.
Our audio postcard from the New Hampshire primaries. By the way, you have pictures. You can see them at hereandnow.org. And here we are back in the studios of New Hampshire Public Radio. And joining us now, Dante Scala, professor of political science at the University of New Hampshire, author of Stormy Weather, the New Hampshire Primary and Presidential Politics. And so, Dante, let's get right to it. You know, we said that anybody could get on the ballot if they pay a fee and do the proper registration. One of the Democrats running today, Vermin Suprine, he's campaigning to give free ponies to all Americans. What do you say to people who say the New Hampshire primary, I mean, we love it. We love it up here in New Hampshire, but they say it's arcane, unrepresentative, and given undue media attention, even as we are those giving it the attention today.
Well, an activist told me a long time ago when I was working on my book, he said, Dante, New Hampshire is a place where anybody can play. So if you have a low barrier to entry, you just, you know, you pay $1,000, you're on the ballot, and sure, it's going to attract your Vermin Supremes, your would-be comics, and all that sort of thing. But it also means, as this activist told me, anybody can play, she said. And so it's democratic with a small d in every sense of the word. So it can be chaotic, and it can cause surprises, but it's a place where anybody can play, and that's our claim to fame.
Population of a little over a million here. New Hampshire, one of the least, 10 least populated states in the country. About 94% of the population is white. But in about the minute we have to the break, and you're going to be with us for the whole hour, how do you think history will look at this one in the run-up? We, of course, don't know the results, but in the run-up, where does it fall?
On the quiet side, on the calm side, even one might say on the boring side. It's been a race where a lot of the action has taken place in Iowa, site of the first in the nation caucuses, but also on television, on Fox News or MSNBC or one of the networks that hosted national debates. And so there were roughly about 14, 15 of those. And so I think there's been a sense that the retail politicking hasn't been all it could be.
Sure. The actual primaries, the caucuses, sort of took a back seat to the debates, which became sort of a new reality show, you know, or like mud wrestling or something. That's Dante Scala, veteran observer of New Hampshire voters, professor of political science at the University of New Hampshire. He's going to be with us. We'll hear more about the history of this primary. Of course, we'll let you know what's going out in the field. We have reporters across the state. You know, we're hearing that it's not as exciting maybe as primaries past, but then there are pockets of just, you know, ecstasy, and we're going to hear about that. Stay with us. More from New Hampshire Public Radio and the New Hampshire First in the Nation primaries in just a minute, here and now.